Okay, Alan has dinner to get, so that's why we're starting rapidly here.
Starving.
Alan Deegan is with us for the podcast. It's the Fantasy Rugby Six Nations Irish Times podcast.
For Knock On.
So we're going to talk about the Towns Cup, because that's pretty much all I know about anyway. Carol Staunton is here.
How are you?
Very welcome along, Carol.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
The veterans of Knock On will remember Carol and Alan involved in our World Cup rugby podcast all those years ago when we did a similar type, was it predict a score competition? Was it score competition?
I think it was, yeah, predict score.
I can't really remember who won. I'd say I finished top three or so. I'd say at least finished top three. Yeah. Ahead of Alan, anyways, yeah.
Did you?
This is what I always say about these competitions.
Did you finish?
People stress out about finishing last, but who remembers? Not that I finished last, or anything. But anyways, yeah. So there's about 12 caps between us. Is that right, Alan?
Something like that. Yeah,
12 caps for Ireland between us here today. Carol has a few of them, and Alan has the rest, I'm sure. So yeah, welcome along. Six Nations Rugby, the most overhyped rugby tournament in the world, is it?
Certainly in the Northern Hemisphere, it is. Yeah,
yeah.
So this week has to be just phenomenal. Listening to people talking about it, listening to on the radio, reading the stuff in the papers about it. It is just, this has to be the most hyped rugby week of all.
Do you know what I can't get over today? Every website, Brian O'Driscoll hints at retirement.
Yeah.
How is that a freaking story? How is that? I mean, like, if Brian O'Driscoll hints that he won't retire and may do another Six Nations, now that's a story. That is definitely a story. Like, no offence, when Brian O'Driscoll retires, we'll all be like, wow, let's look back on a great career.
And the other good thing that I'm delighted to see is that the women's Six Nations is getting much more profile.
Mm. Decent garshka on the Irish Times, actually, since you're plugging us and we're plugging
really
in.
Bit by bit, it's worthy of it, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, yes, the Six Nations is, I'll have to agree, the most hyped competition, etc., for the men.
Yes.
You know, and for the women, it's gradually getting some of that publicity now, and it's long overdue. But I think what we have to thank for that is just the recent performances. I mean, remember, they only play 5 internationals a year. And also the attention that the Sevens game it will bring and has brought.
Yeah, well, see, the great thing about the Olympics for women's sport is that equality, is that the gold medal's a gold medal, whichever, whether it's women or men. And I think that's where women's rugby will benefit, because I'm not a big fan of the Sevens being in the Rugby World Cup, except, like you said, I think it can be great for women's rugby.
Absolutely, yeah. They have more to gain for it, especially with established kind of union teams such as Ireland. I mean, you see emerging Sevens nations like Holland and Russia in the women's game.
Mm. And did they have 15-a-side teams? Like, I was looking at the other day, I saw that there's 7 divisions of men's rugby underneath the Six Nations, where they have promotion and relegation, but they don't into the Six Nations. But anyway, do the women have that similar setup as well?
Abroad?
Yeah.
Yeah, in those countries they do, but I mean, Sevens now is their bread and butter. A lot of them are full-time teams.
Really?
So that's what we're competing against. But,
okay. And of course, the RFU should, after all the money they saved with Danny Sexton, I think we should be able to.
Yeah, 750 grand. We should all play a little what the RFU are going to do with their money. Like, maybe get a few club finals into the big stadium. But talk about drifting away from the topic. Oh, whatever possibility we had on Knock On of bringing in some of those Facebook, this is my favourite time of year, Six Nations lovers, they've all just switched off. They're off. For those of you who are just about to switch off, join our fancy rugby league just before you do so. I'll give you our podcast. Podcast pin or pin number. Actually, you know what? It's below the podcast where you got it on knockon.ie. There's a little pin number there. Go to the Irish Times. Join our league. You can win a jersey. Carol's probably going to win it.
Yeah.
Carol is currently Paddy Power of Carol at 5-1 favourite. I'm about 400-1 outsider, which I think is worth a punt.
Yeah, right. If you want to lose your money, yeah.
Ronan O'Gara at out half. He's going to be my kicker. That's a good call, isn't it?
Good call, yeah.
Yeah, cool. I haven't seen the team yet, but they're hardly not going to pick O'Gara. Like.
Well, no, I'm sure he's there somewhere. I'm sure because he couldn't possibly not have Raj there.
No.
He's played in every Six Nations, so he must be going to play again.
Now, the Sexton, obviously, since he's left Leinster, he can play for Ireland now and he can play for France in 3 years. Is that the way it works?
No. I think he just won't be able to play for Ireland.
Is that it? Yeah. Sorry, I love international rugby. I really do. Anyways, listen, guys, you're the experts. I'm here to ask the question, who's going to win? Who's going to win the Six Nations? Who are you picking? What team have you going to first to pick your first? I think you only have 3 players per team, are you?
3 players per
team.
That's
kind of hard.
It's tough, yeah. But I did manage to pick my team without an Italian in it, so.
Ooh. Sorry, I'm trying to do the maths. Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, I managed to do that. Oh, no, it's just that I think the French are going to wipe the floor with everybody this year. And, you know, as long as they're playing, I won't have players playing against them. I just Having said, you know, France have only, ever beaten France twice.
You could pick three players from the English team and you wouldn't have an Englishman in it as well, which would be good going, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Boom!
First strike in there. Yeah. Well, no, they do have the biggest number of players in the world, so they've got a big...
500,000 players or something like that.
No, Manu Teolagi's not there, so that's one less.
Billy Twelvetrees is in, I think.
He is.
So that English team will probably have a look at that. I guess let's go to Ireland Wales. 1:30. Horrible time for a game.
Mm.
But, I mean, come on, it's Ireland Wales. It should be like 3:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm more concerned about the women's game, to be honest with you, the following day.
What's it like for a 1:30 kickoff? That means you're getting up an awful lot earlier and you're
eating pasta at like 10:30 in the morning. That's grand. You take it on the chin. You're playing international rugby. Yeah.
Hang on, it is women's international, so they probably fly you in at 10:00.
They
don't pay for 1:00.
No comments.
No Charles afterwards. Get on the plane.
Future caps, I might get. Anything.
We can comment though. You're a disgrace.
I know the one thing I will say about this fixture is that I suppose the Irish lineup is quite exciting insofar as. Well, I personally don't know how it's going to work out. It's adding a little bit of spice to the really boring Six Nations narrative that comes out every year. Ireland, Wales, yes, great. Cardiff, the big weekend, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the lineup will give another dimension to it, and it'll be exciting to see if it does work out, and I hope it does because it'll probably give Declan Kidney a bit more momentum than, what he needs at the minute. And, it's pointing towards the Hislop era, new generation, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that's been a great call. I think that's been
You like
so
that
good.
Decision, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's good. It's brave. Kidney does this every now and again. He pulls sort of rabbit out of the bag and puts everyone off their stride, which is what's needed, I think, for these things. And, as you said, you could see the buzz around the Irish camp in the November thing, that hasn't been there for a while, and I think it's just fresh. These are all alpha males, and Heathcliff's what, 27.
He seems to be all we can do judge from the outside, but he seems to be really well liked in the squad. Like
he does, yeah. And he seems like a bit of a messer, but a hard worker, and I think he strikes me as more of a captain. I could see myself playing under rather than Brian O'Driscoll.
Yeah,
all right,
Brian O'Driscoll. I mean, a legend, and need to overstate that.
Yeah.
But I think he's more talismanic for the crowd and the supporters. I think Heaslip is more of a workhorse on the pitch, what players can relate to. And
Do you think most players will say they want to see their captains lead by example rather than lead by big hits and getting behind them emotionally rather than leading by their skills?
Absolutely. Well, that's what I'd like.
Yeah. It's what you look to more for the inspiration. The skills are brilliant and he's your asset, but the guy who's kind of making that first big tackle is what you really want to see as a captain.
And you want someone that you can trust.
Absolutely.
You can turn around and there's a problem, you turn around and you get the thumbs up.
You can trust O'Driscoll to deliver every tackle, and you can trust O'Driscoll to get that try in the last minute. So, I mean, what is it about the guy who roars that bit more and does the spectacular hit?
It's not necessarily about roaring that much more.
I think it's more... like us. Less godlike, and that's okay.
Exactly.
I could go out with Amy Hoover. No, it's totally possible. I can't even say her surname, but I could totally go out with her. Okay, really couldn't. Sorry, Brian. But I wanted to say about the Irish team, like one of the things, Eddie O'Sullivan, the former Connacht coach from 1996, I think he was coach of Connacht, yes, he was on the radio giving off about the defensive the attacking nature of our wingers on News Talk this week. He was suggesting that, you need to... What he thinks Declan Kidney is doing is just trying to play his own game and not think about the Welsh game. He thinks that's the wrong way to approach it. He also is very worried about the size and height of the Welsh wingers. What I say is wingers don't win games. Wingers finish off chances.
Yeah, and if you look at there's a bigger problem for Wales in that they don't have any second rows. They're after pulling a lad in from the Dragons, a 28-year-old, and no one's quite sure who he is. They got the guy from...
Coombs.
Coombs, yeah.
I've covered him in a few very exciting Rapid Rec games on the Friday night.
Yeah, and then they found out that Ollie Cohen is a Harlequin second row, had a Welsh grandmother or something.
Oh,
they found
that
out on Tuesday.
Oops.
But he's on the bench.
Oh, is he? Is he actually on the bench for them?
Bench, yeah.
They found that out on Tuesday.
I don't know if it was Tuesday.
This is the greatest rugby tournament in the world. What's going on?
Someone said about it. You know, it's been pretty recently anyway.
I hope the Irish Times fancy rugby have just kind of squeezed him in there because I'd bite him.
Well, we'll find out if he was. And then Ian Evans hasn't played a game since November. So, you know, where are they going to get the ball? But having said that, the two front rows are pretty amazing.
Anything else to add in this game? Are we expecting to win?
Well, I think we're going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why are we all so confident against Wales? They beat us every time we get confident.
Yeah. because it's just the way we are.
Our World Cup podcast pretty much died after they beat us. Pretty much everyone's interested in the podcast.
Of course, but yeah, you just look at it. I think the fact that Gatland's not around is definitely something to know. I know like everyone's gone on about there on the 7-game losing streak, but we're only, you know, our last game was stopped a 5-game losing streak.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, there's still...
like they lost by a point to Australia twice or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
just
they lost last minute tries and whatever. So, like, yeah, they're a bloody good side.
And whereas they've got, you know, different options coming into the team by force.
Yes.
We've got options by...
And we've got a bloody good record in the Millennium Stadium.
Yes.
They only beat us the last time because of a dodgy try.
Who's your recommendation from the Welsh team for fancy rugby, if you were to give away one of your picks? I like Jonathan Davis. He is my man, Davies.
No, I think we might see his centre partner would be the big man that I'd be looking at.
Mr. Roberts, yeah.
Mr. Roberts, he'd be the man, I think.
Is he the Lions 12 shoe-in, is he?
Well, we'll find out after this game because like he's coming up against, you know, a pretty old Irish centre partnership and O'Driscoll is a pure legend, but... I don't think he's got the pace he used to have, and I've just noticed recently he started to drop off some tackles that you would never have seen him drop off before. So,
yeah, I really hope it isn't one of those kind of Six Nations where he gets exposed a little bit, because we don't want that. No one wants that. But then again, we've worried about him about 6 years ago in that kind of scenario.
Yeah, well, that was, you know, he's a heck of a lot older now.
There's a brilliant front page in the Irish Times Six Nations rugby preview where they showed picked out all his injuries over the years. Like, I mean, guts of 10, 12 serious injuries, like, at different times. I mean...
You forget how long he's been around as well to accumulate those...
Yeah, it's been an awful long time. Yeah,
maybe if we did that with every club player in Scorty to Tullow, we got to be worth. Lads, just to tiptoe through the other teams, because we do have a few followers from England and Scotland to start with. It's a Calcutta Cup. England beat New Zealand in that spectacular game, Carol. It was probably the best game of rugby we've seen in the last 10 years. But Stephen Jones has a line in the Sunday Times this week where he says, why are we all talking about England? They played 3 good games in 11 years, which I thought was quite funny. But they do look good. Everyone knows New Zealand retired. But at the same time, this is the Six Nations. And France aside, they should be able to beat most of the teams, beat the other teams.
Yeah, no, I agree. And especially this one, I mean, it'll be a nice starting base for them for the Six Nations if, according to form, Scotland play the way they have been. I don't see it being anything more than protocol England beating Scotland.
But surprisingly, like, for all England's dominance over them and like Scotland having won there since 1983, it's in the last 5-6 years that England have only ever won by a score. Whatever it is, I think it's the natural Celtic thing of raising their, you know, the Celts raise their game when they're playing the English, because, you know, you just want to beat the big
guys.
And
it's the Six Nations factor as well.
And obviously the Six Nations.
Greatest tournament.
It's the greatest tournament that ever was.
I don't know. I mean, you never know, but I can't see any surprises in that result.
No. Really unusual. Dean Ryan coming in to coach him just for a short period of time and Scott Johnson. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Could be interesting, though. I mean, if really fresh kind of feel to the Scottish camp.
Well, certainly, how are those guys going to work together?
Oh, you know, strange combination.
It is a very strange combination. Yeah. But,
you know. That game is interesting me a good bit, like, this weekend.
Yeah, Dean might, like,
watch that.
He seems like a very good guy. He seems like a guy when he's switched on and looks as though he's able to sort of pinpoint things. The Scottish pack's a pretty decent pack. I was looking at the pack. Like, my three Scottish players are all their pack. You know, I'm taking Barkley, Beattie, and
Richie Gray's in there, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they're serious contenders for Lions.
Yeah.
You know, being picked.
And they'll also
Lions.
Have decent front row options, so we'll see what their front row's like.
But solid front row, yeah.
Danny Kerr has found a new dad, apparently, when he was saying father-like figure in Conor O'Shea. So he seems to be a different guy and a different attitude. And he's a tremendous talent. What do you think, Carl?
Tremendous talent. No, I don't know. I wouldn't have said that now when I met him outside the charcoal grill last night.
Oh, stories! Anyone who switched off the podcast up to now is gutted.
Yeah, no, I mean, Conor Shea's done amazing things for...
No, hang on, back you go.
No, no, no. It's podcast extra later on.
Oh, we're going to find out some story afterwards. Yeah, and for those of you who don't know the charcoal grill in Galway, you really got to go to it. They'll give us 25 quid for that, surely.
I'm sure they will, yeah.
Back to the story. Well, what story was it again? Or even a chicken burger. I love their chicken burgers. No. Danny Kerr, yeah. No, Conor Shea.
Conor Shea, yeah. Not a lot to be said. I mean, his track record recently speaks volumes. No need to go into it. Danny Kerr, talented anyway, he's just been fine-tuned, really. And it's great to see.
He's bought into the ethos. Like, yeah. The amount of talented people you see who don't put work in,
yeah,
and then they all drift away.
Absolutely.
If you can get someone to inspire them to work and have them with the talent, then you know, then you've got the best. I've got Danny Kerr on my team as well.
I know, but Ben Youngs is starting, having said all that, so that just shows you how much I know about what's going on in these six nations.
I'm going to go and change my
team. The podcast is in the know. But I do like the idea that Conor Shea has had a great effect on English rugby with how he's solidified to Harlequins. Maybe you can take that, Carol, just in terms of, you know, there's Rob Shaw on that team, there's Mike Brown, who's one of my favourite players, certainly one of my favourite back three players in the world of rugby, and they're all like, Brown's a great example, just keeps, he works, like he's like Gavin Duffy does, he gets stuck in as much as he can from the fullback position.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, there were a few, I don't know if this is too strong a word, volatile elements there,
yeah,
and it's not even a case of papering over damage or cracks there, it is just a lifestyle now. That's there. It's a way of being there. And
and will that trickle into the England kind of setup? Because other teams will try and get like them, and I do see that. I see a bit of that in the English team now.
Well, I think Lancaster's bought that. I don't think that's necessarily come.
Oh, fair point.
Yeah. I think Lancaster bought that, because I remember seeing
you're
the first
huge
time
fan
of
Lancaster.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
I'm a
yeah,
major
yeah.
fan of Lancaster, because he's the same as O'Shea and Elwood here. They've got an ethos, and it's about how you know, you do the best that you can do. You work as hard as you can, make the most of your talent, do the best that you can do, and do it as fairly as you can.
Absolutely.
And work from there. And then, you know, good things happen eventually when you do all that. If you actually put the work in and you know, have a correct ethos.
And for players coming from that background, doing their bread and butter rugby,
yes,
it's obviously going to help.
Yes,
a combination team, a representative team.
So. I think so. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It can only help.
And especially when, like, Harlequins are the champions, so they're obviously, yeah, people look to them as being, well, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, whereas when you had the Leicester years,
it could make for a more likable England as well.
Absolutely. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a statement. Definitely. There's a pull quote.
A full of statements. Yeah.
Hey, there's a couple of things. I guess the final thing to say about Italy, France, two things. One, Rome 2 years ago, everyone's favourite Six Nations moment, probably since Ireland won the Six Nations, anyways. And the other thing is, if for fancy rugby people out there, just picking the right three French players each week is going to be the difference between winning it or not, isn't it? Surely, like.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Like, I've got mine picked at the moment, but I'm just waiting for the team to pick to make sure I've got the right one. So yeah, like, I've got Picamoles in there. He's going to be something else. He's been playing fantastic rugby. You know, for a guy the size that he is, to be able to move around and do all the things he does is just phenomenal. I think he'll have a big impact on.
I think he's on everyone's team, actually.
I think, yeah, he might.
Yeah. I think that's, like, you know, that's a stop guy. If you don't put that guy in, you can just check out. Or Chris, probably.
I'm sure Jamie Heaslip fans would be, you know.
Oh, come on.
But I have to say, it's one of the things that about the fantasy team, you can pick eight back rowers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
It's just eight forwards.
It's just eight forwards.
Yeah. So, oh, I like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm not overly fond of that, but yeah, you know, I still put Cian Healy in there.
I think it's great, they're the only ones I know.
And if they're all back, yeah, I'm going to pick it props. I don't care. Screw you. Yeah, screw you, rules.
No, I picked Healy. I think Healy's a chance of
Keane's going to
do something. He always performs. He always.
And he likes to get involved. Yeah, so that's it. We were going to go on for another 3 or 4 minutes, but I really want to hear this Danny Kerr story. So sorry, podcasters. You're not going to find out. Carol Stodden, thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. And you're not going to be sued, though, because I will have it switched off. And Alan Deegan, thanks very much.
No worries, cheers.
I've been Rob, and you've been listening.